your sense of smell? If the answer is poor, then this might be a bad sign, because a new study from the US has shown that older adults who fail a smell test are significantly more likely to be dead within 5 years compared to their less nasally challenged counterparts. Should we be worried? With more on this and some of the year's best science stories, we're joined by our science correspondent Chris Smith in our Cambridge studios. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Ellen.
Take me through this research. Are you really on death's door if you can't smell?
Well, let's hope not. I mean, what I've done here is I've gone through the year and said, what are the three things that have really jumped out this year as interesting and thought-provoking studies? And also studies that tell us a lot about statistics and the importance of appreciating what statistics really mean, because it's very easy to jump to the wrong conclusion. Now, Jay Pinto, who's a researcher at the University of Chicago, was the author of this study in PLOS One in the last few months or so. And he was wondering whether you could come up with an easy way to predict who might be more at risk of dying imminently than the next person. And we'll come on to another story in a moment that's just come out this week, which is also relevant to that question. But the approach he took was to say, let's look at 3,000 people over 55 and let's see if they can recognise five really common smells. The smell of roses, the smell of fish, the smell of leather, the smell of mint, and also the smell of orange. They followed these people up to see what happened to them, and then they correlated the outcome, what happened to those people, are they alive or dead 2 years later, with how they performed in those smell tests. People who failed the smell test and couldn't recognise very many of those smells, nearly half of them were dead within the next 2 years. And he's saying, we don't know why they died. We haven't got that data.
That's crucial.
But that's the study they're now doing, because all this was an observational study. But what it is a very cheap and very, very quick way for a doctor perhaps to appraise someone's health, because he speculates that the reason the smell system claps out is it's a sort of proxy measure of how good your body is at repairing and regenerating itself in general, because your smell system continuously regenerates itself from stem cells throughout your life. Therefore, if the stem cell systems in your body which keep you in a fine fettle are beginning to fail, perhaps that's why the smell system also fails, and therefore it's a more general measure of the failure of your body really to give enough attention to upkeep, which is why people will then begin to fall off their perch within a couple of years if their smell system fails.
And also, Chris, a study shows that the key to losing a few kilos might be to watch as boring a TV show or movie as you can get your hands on. Perhaps Question Time, just have it on a loop in the house. Why is that?
Thankfully not Red National Breakfast.
Listen, no.
Yeah, this is a lovely study by, people watching that would be totally grouped, listening to that even. Anur Tal is a researcher at Cornell University in the States, and earlier this year they said, well, what happens to people's junk food consumption when they're watching gripping movies versus boring TV? So he recruited 94 students from his university. Students are great subjects because they'll do anything on the promise for a free meal. And this is what they got here. All they had to do was to turn up, watch 20 minutes of TV, either a Hollywood action movie or a quite sedately paced, let's say, less thrilling piece of broadcasting. And what the students didn't know is that the junk food that was being given to them ad libitum for them to snack on if they wanted to was actually being quite carefully monitored in terms of its consumption. And as soon as the students had exited, they weighed the portions that were left behind, and they found that the people watching the action movie ate 100% more food than the people watching the more boring movie. And it wasn't just because they're asleep. Everyone did attend. Everyone was awake. And there's also a sex bias. Men were more susceptible to the effect than women were. So the moral of his story is, if you're going off to the cinema, Do pay very careful attention to the size of the basket or bucket of popcorn or whatever you take in with you. Or if you're watching movies at home, make the fridge harder to access and think about what you're going to take into the living room with you before you settle down in front of the movie.
Now, if we had more time, we could talk about the impact of cricket on various people with a gender bias included, but we won't. This strange story. If a cereal box makes eye contact with you, you are more likely to buy it and eat it. How did this research come about?
Well, the person I just mentioned, Anur Tal, who did the study on action movies, I first met him earlier this year when he published this wonderful study. And he said they were wandering around supermarkets in New York, where he's from, and they started looking at the cereals that are on offer and the cereals on offer for children versus adults. And they realised that a lot of the cereal packets that target children have eyes on cartoon characters.
I have noticed that.
If you look at the direction of the gaze the eyes are pointing in, they're angled almost universally downwards by almost the same amount. And the effect this has is if you're a small person walking along the aisle in the supermarket, you are much more likely to make eye contact with your cereal box than if you're an adult. So they wondered, does this actually affect engagement of that potential target consumer group? And does it adjust or affect a person's trustworthy, how trustworthy they regard that brand as being, or how much they say they like it or prefer it? So they actually did the study. So having measured and got this effect in all these cereal boxes showing that they do make eye contact, they then photoshopped some cereal boxes to make them either make eye contact or not make eye contact, and then they quizzed a whole bunch of consumers saying, do you trust this cereal? Which of these two cereal boxes would you prefer? And 60% of the time, the people chose the cereal box that made eye contact with them versus only 48% of the time when it didn't make eye contact with them. And they're saying they're not sure if this is manufacturers exploiting this and they know this, but either way, it could be used actually to encourage people to engage in more healthy options, because if we know this works and we want to get kids to eat the healthier option, perhaps making healthy options that make eye contact with you would actually be one strategy to make kids want to eat their greens.
Food that gives you a hard stare. Thank you so much for that, Chris, and for everything this year.
It guilts you into wanting to eat it.
So long as the veggies don't start looking in the aisle, then you're going to get really worried. Thanks again.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's our regular science correspondent, Chris Smith, consultant virologist at Cambridge University and host of The Naked Scientist every Friday night from 10 here on RN.